Kia ora, and welcome to a special guest edition of the New Zealand Property Market Podcast, brought to you by CoreLogic, produced by Agents TV. I'm Nick Goodall, Head of Research at CoreLogic, and today I'm joined by Joni Rankin, who is a Mobile Mortgage Manager at Westpac. Joni, great to have you on the show. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Nick, and yourself?
Yeah, not too bad. I am actually nursing a bit of sickness, did test positive for COVID, but we will move on from that. I'm drugged up and ready to go for this, so don't worry about me. But good to hear that you're well anyway.
And, yes, I am.
And yeah, really keen to get your thoughts, so we'll get into things. And before we do get into the meaty part of the podcast, I wanted to see if you could tell us a bit about yourself. What has your recent career entailed, and what else keeps you busy outside of work?
Sure, no worries. So I've been working with the bank now for about coming up 9 years. So I completely changed the industry that I was working in before. The reason I decided to go to banking is because there's so many options with banking. There's so many doors that can be opened. So initially I came into banking thinking that I'd like to be in some kind of fraud role. I never expected to be a home lender. It was never on my radar to do such a job. So I've had 5 to 6 years experience in home lending, but the majority, or where it's just been solely home lending, has been for the past 3 years where I've been a mobile mortgage manager. So I've done roles in contact centres, insurance, and now I could probably say, as corny as it may sound, I've got the best role now in the bank, which is the one I'm doing now. It's very rewarding. I just absolutely love it. So, yep, because we are mobile and we basically look after customers, get business for the bank and so forth, I would say we don't do a normal 8-hour day. Our days can be 10 hours. They can be a bit longer. There is no Monday to Friday for us. It's any day of the week. It's public holidays. It's after hours. But again, like I say, it's very, very rewarding. And now, after hours, when I do find some after hours time. So I like to get out on the water. I absolutely love the water. So when it's summertime, every opportunity I can, I'm out there on the water, be it paddle boarding, be it swimming, or anything else that's inflatable or floats and can keep my head above the water. Winter, I feel the cold like you wouldn't believe. So I would say that in winter I hibernate. I probably would hibernate a lot and maybe watch movies or look for different little arts and craft things to really show my age and start making little bits and pieces and cooking. So yeah, but I'm just your average New Zealander who's faced all the same things that other people have faced, getting into my first home, finding the way how to do it, starting off with the home, the location that I never really wanted, but working up to getting to a location that I did want. So same as everyone else, have been through all the same things. I've had a bank person tell me you spend too much on clothes and coffees and everything else, and you need to learn how to budget and grow up. So, yeah, I'm the prime example of many of us out there.
Yeah, as you say, that's the common Kiwi experience, eh? But I love the fact that you love the water. I grew up in Whanganui, as some of our listeners will know, proud Northland boy. You know, often called the winterless North, but I'll tell people that's not quite the truth. But yeah, just living at the beach is just through that summer period, eh? Every weekend, which beach are we going to? So totally agree with you there. Can't quite get the same amount of swimming time down in Wellington here.
But
you know, we take what we can get anyway. But love to hear that. And certainly understand the winter hibernation too, that once there's those options, I'm just TV, movies,
exactly.
Stick at home and enjoy. So I love that. All good. Well, I mean, given your regular interaction with buyers and your experience in the market, you're having that day-to-day interaction, what's your sort of take on where the market's currently at? How are people feeling? What's your sort of interaction with those people going about these days?
I suppose the overall feeling is there is a lot of people who are scared. They're scared to make their dream is to get into their first home. They don't want to pay rent anymore, or they've got that feeling of, I keep giving this money to someone else to pay off their home loan. I really want to start putting my money to pay off my home. But it's that overall fear, or is that, have I got enough money? Am I going to be able to do it? How am I going to make this happen? That's what we're finding. And it's about people, I suppose, taking that plunge and just reaching out, or overcoming that fear and just reaching out, because I've had so many clients who have been in that particular predicament where are very, very curious, and they finally get the courage to go and ask someone, and then they realize, you know, within 5 to 6 months they're in their first home. But the market is I would say it's still steady. There's still a variety of buyers out there, first home buyers, people upgrading homes, selling their existing and upgrading to something bigger and better, and not a lot of people buying investment properties, I would say. There's the odd family that are buying a holiday home because they have the equity there to do so. But yeah, I would say I deal with a lot of first home buyers more than anything else, and those who are selling and buying.
Yeah, and of course we'll talk more about that. So I guess, and it sounds like it is still that sort of mixed market, right? We're not getting it all one way. Yes. There's a bit of inconsistency with it, and that's reflected in, like you said, that psychology of people, right? There's still, it's a bit of a daunting prospect, whether they're a first home buyer trying to get in for this massive purchase and something that they don't really understand the process and all the things that go with it, or even those that might even be experienced are still unsure about what's to come next. So I guess that all kind of is reflected in that. In terms of the market, do you sort of have any specifics by location? Are there certain areas that you're particularly familiar with, or that you often see yourself talking to specific clients about? Is there any sort of insight you can give on that location-based insight?
Yeah, definitely. For myself, for first-home buyers, my customer base, I'm finding a lot of them are looking at the new developments or the new builds. So they're looking for, in, I suppose, the most common areas where a lot of those new builds are happening, which are affordable, are happening in West Auckland regions in Auckland, and then also South Auckland regions. I've seen, in the past year, I think I've only seen a couple of customers buy something in North Shore that's been a new build, only because of the price range, and Central Auckland or East Auckland, either the price range is way out for the type of customers that I'm servicing, or otherwise there's not a lot of developments out there. But definitely West Auckland and South Auckland are pumping with new developments. So customers seem to be going in those particular areas, and you know, they're looking on places like Trade Me and that, or they're seeing advertising. So they're finding those particular areas because that's where a lot of it is based at the moment, definitely.
Yeah, and that must be pretty common, right? For any first home buyer, they're gonna, what's their first thought is property. Where do I get property from? Trade Me. Go and have a look. You know, figure out some pricing or understanding. And interesting that, you know, new build is one of the first things that popped up in your mind, and then where those new build locations are. Of course, that's really common for Auckland. We know just how many new build properties have been consented for in the last few years. We know that's slowing down, of course, now, but Auckland has seen a dramatic shift in that. So it doesn't really surprise me that that's been a common thread of conversation for you with those clients too. You've obviously touched on first home buyers, you know, a number of times already. I think it's really worthwhile digging into that market. You know, I know how much it dominates many of your conversations. You know, the role that you play is really important for first home buyers. So, and when we've seen, you know, they continually find a way to get into that market. I think you've talked about it in a number of ways already, you know, that psychology of stopping paying rent. And I think a key thing that maybe is still misunderstood from a first home buyer who hasn't spoken to someone in the market yet is that while there are restrictions and deposit requirements, you know, there are speed limits outside that too, and they often don't find that until they come and talk to you. And in fact, I think, you know, recently I was looking at some of the Reserve Bank data that showed 36% of recent first home buyer loans were done with less than a 20% deposit. And so I just wanted to, you know, talk to you about what do you find when you have those conversations with first home buyers? And, you know, you talked already about the fear they have of getting into the market and maybe the unknown of, you know, I need 20% deposit, don't I? How do you go about those conversations, and how important is it for them to come and talk to you so that you can tease out these, you know, maybe misconceptions of what they think is going on and what's not actually happening?
Definitely. And you've hit the nail on the head there. It is very much about deposit. So a lot of first home buyers, once they do get the courage to come and see your bank, you know, they've got that dream of wanting to buy, but they're wanting to know how can they get that 20% deposit? How can we help them to achieve that? Or what can we do to support them to get that? So they come to us not knowing that there are potentially other ways that they can get into their first home, or there is different government schemes, or just the option. So we basically educate. So we have a look at their overall picture, you know, what is their income, what is their deposit, what is their spending, But I would say the main thing that we focus on deposit. So majority, I would say majority of the first home buyers now, if they're getting into their first homes, it's either with the assistance of a government scheme that's available, be it shared equity. Kāinga Ora was obviously the biggest one last year until they've been put on hold. It is your first home loan where you can have a deposit as low as 5%, or it is the assistance of family, so be it gifted funds or deeds of debt or even springboards. And it's surprising that there are so many people that don't know about these other options that they could fall into. So we look at all their options, educate them, you know, we offer to, a lot of times we, you know, find out, does mum and dad own a house? Would mum and dad be interested in helping you get into your first house? Because if mum and dad want to do that, they could do it in this particular format. Or, you know, it's not always necessary about mum and dad just giving you the money, free money. There is another option of what we call a deed of debt, where you're signing a legal document in the background to say that you are going to pay back mum and dad, which gives mum and dad a bit more comfort as well. Or using equity within mum and dad's home to get you to that, you know, that place that you need. I suppose with a lot of my experience, a lot of first home buyers as well, is I'll initially come in and they'll be like, I've lived in Remuera all my life. I want to live in Remuera now. that is a big one. It's sort of like, I want to buy in Remuera. I've seen houses. The houses are $800,000, $900,000. That's where I'm looking. That's what I want. Sometimes it's very hard to let them know that, unfortunately, at this point of time, that's not what you can have. But hey, get yourself onto the property ladder and that's what you can have in, you know, X amount of years or something like that. So for a lot of customers, it is a reality check that for your first home, you're not going to always be able to buy it in the location that you wanted or close to where you're currently working in that. But they appreciate that as well. And then you, how can I put it? You give them that, you ignite that spark of actually owning a home, the importance of owning a home, not paying your rent to someone else, having your own independence, you know, being able to move away from mum and dad. So then they adjust their minds and it's like, okay, yeah, I can go and live in, for example, Swanson instead of Remuera, because yeah, it's going to be my own, it's going to be mine. But yeah, I think I've said it before as well, a lot of customers come in and they're like, I don't think I'm ready just yet to buy a home. I just want to, you know, I just want to see what does it look like and everything else like that, or can you tell me what it looks like? Go over everything and you're like, you can have a look and you think, oh, maybe not quite now or not what you want, but let's just test it. Let's have a look to see what you can actually afford. And the amount of people who have come to me with that scenario or with not much of a deposit, and then, you know, they've ended up getting into their first home a bit later on, or you've encouraged them, or yeah, you've just been there with them to support them and show them that it is right. And if it isn't right now, then we'll show you how you can get there eventually. Exactly. What you need to do.
Yeah, exactly right. Like, it's sitting down, at least having a plan. Like, if this is something you really want, you know, what could a few year plan look like? And as you've already touched on, right, like, and we've seen in our data, they have been willing to adjust their expectations. And the first home doesn't have to be your forever home. So build, exactly, buy a home. You can stay in it for, you know, X many years, whatever that looks like. Build up your equity, hopefully. You know, maybe if you're lucky, you'll see the value of that property grow. And then you've got the opportunity to move to the area which you might think is more desirable later on. Or if you are, you know, going to grow your family, that you can buy a bigger home later on. But the idea is to, yes, you know, make that sacrifice now. Buy that property, get into the market, and then hopefully be able to use that to recycle back into the market later on. So I think that's really, really kind of comforting, I suppose, to hear that it's sort of backed up by the data or some of the conversations we have, and certainly sounds like that's your day-to-day experience. So that's really cool. So is there anything else on property types, the different trends or preferences you're seeing across the city? You've talked about new builds already, but anything else on maybe price points that certain buyers are looking at that are more attractive than others?
Yeah, definitely. So what I'm seeing is, you know, if you've got your singles, the price bracket that they are affording is around the $600,000 to $650,000 mark. If you've got your couples or your couples with the children, I'm not seeing anything over $950,000, to be honest with you, for the new build space. Why do I feel people are buying new builds, or what feedback am I getting from them? Cheaper prices, basically. People seem to believe that a new build is cheaper than an existing home, that they're going to get some, you know, as soon as it's completed and they move in, there is going to be some equity there that's already been gained for them. Definitely lower maintenance. You know, they're buying something that they know that is not going to have any maintenance done for quite some time, so they can just sit back and relax. No surprises that will come anytime soon. And I think it's the lifestyle of most Kiwis these days, to be honest with you. Most of us, you know, be it a single, a couple, or a family with children, most of us are having to go to work from morning to night, children at school, come home, your life is refined within your house. You know, if you're wanting to, they're not interested in the backyard or letting the dog run around. I mean, even dogs and cats are confined inside these days now. So it's a complete change of lifestyle. And I think this is why these new build homes seem to be quite attractive as well, not only on price, but the type of lifestyles that we're living now as well.
That's a great point, you know, and I think there was some research done late last year looking at the cost of a new build compared to the cost of buying existing, and that saying that they were quite close together. And so, you know, there might be people drift towards existing because there's more certainty there. You don't have to engage in a new build, which can take time. And I get all that, and I think there's some real validity there, and the cost to build is expensive. And that's, you know, needs to be looked at, I think, by central government to look at how they can help that out. But I think you're right that there's other things on top of that, right, that yes. come with it. You know, it's probably warmer, it's more modern. And so you're spending less on that. You've already mentioned maintenance, and it probably is actually, what is the longer term cost, not just the cost of, you know, getting in and buying that property, it's the regular day-to-day. Like you said, it's almost that lock exactly. and leave, right?
Yeah,
you know, you get a new property, you're done. You know, you don't have to worry about anything else, and everything's modern, you can rely on everything. So it's probably one exactly. that's been, you know, not talked about as much, but it's a really good one when you're considering your options. It's not just about upfront price, it's about what the things look like longer term too. So I think it's a great
definitely.
One to point out.
100%. I definitely believe it. That's what it is. And I know for myself as well, for my next house, I will probably go down the new build track because I know that I'm going to be moving into something. Everything is brand spanking new. I'm not going to have to worry about roofing or potential leaks or, you know, old toilets that are going to break down, that are going to stop working, or hot water cylinders are going to blow. So, yeah, it's peace of mind. And such a with a busy lifestyle, that's all you want. You just want to come home and have somewhere lovely to live without those added problems or stresses and financing them as well to get them repaired.
Yeah, the value of peace of mind. I think you've hit the nail on the head there. Now, all good. Well, let's move on a little bit then. I thought it'd be interesting to know, like, what does Westpac in particular do to support and assist those first-time buyers too? We've talked about the broad market and kind of what you do in your interaction, but is there anything Westpac does specifically to help those first-time buyers, to help Kiwi buyers to get into the market?
Definitely. I would say the main thing is we like to educate our customers, and not even just our customers, people. We like to educate people. It doesn't matter if you're our customer or if you're not our customer. It's about educating people, educating them as to how can you get into your first home. And the biggest education part is the deposit, because so many people have this misconception that they need to have 20%. We all know that we have KiwiSaver, but it does grow slowly. And you'd feel like it will take you 20 years before you can get to that 20%. So some people feel disheartened, and unless they can get gifted funds or some kind of government assistance or something of that nature, it's very disheartening. So, yeah, we at Westpac, we run seminars. We run seminars out of branches. We have organisations who ask us to run seminars for them, so we definitely do that. We have seminars that are actually in branches. We've had real estate agents or developers ask us to run seminars. And obviously they arrange all these different customers to come through and actually see what it's all about and how can you actually achieve, you know, buying a home. We also have a unit in Westpac who talk about managing your money. How can you manage your money? How can you budget? What do you need to do with your, you know, spending habits or everything else? Or how do you need to change to be able to achieve and save and everything else? There's a lot of our customers, it's about showing them the options that are available to them, showing what is out there, like the shared equity schemes, if they qualify for a shared equity scheme, the first home loan scheme, which a lot of them get a bit confused about because there are so many kind order products and they all start with first home. So, and they come along quite confused. So it's explaining to them. And it's quite surprising. A lot of people don't know about the first home loan product. the gifting, the springboard, using equity in someone else's property. So I would say it's education, and for us to be out there, out and about, but it's also educating our other staff within Westpac, our branch staff, our contact centre staff, letting customers know that, you know, it's not just a 9-to-5 job where you can have it's just not between 9-to-5 where you can see someone or have an appointment. There is flexibility. There is a whole team of us, over 70 of us nationwide, who can come to you.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's great. I mean, it really is about opening up those lines of communication, right? Saying we're available, come and talk to us. You'll find plenty. And yeah, we deal and support that Managing Your Money team too. Wazza is a legend there at Westpac, who engages us and tells us to come and do the seminars for those first home buyers too. So I've seen many of those things firsthand too, and it's great to see them all out in place. And yeah, just getting those first home buyers to come out of the woodwork and ask a question is the main thing, right? And
exactly, we've got to have to organise one with CoreLogic. I'll have to deliver you a seminar with CoreLogic for your first time buyer staff there. But
it's using those resources, right?
Exactly. I mean, sorry, there was something else I was going to say too, which came to mind about the target assistance for first time buyers. It's just left me. If it comes to mind again, I'll bring it up.
Throw it back in there. All good. All good. There's so much to talk about.
There is.
And I mean, I know that it's not something that we here at CoreLogic can often cover in great detail because we don't have demographic data, but I do know, and I've seen a bit from Westpac around your particular focus on working with the Māori community. Can you speak more about that as well?
Yes, definitely. I definitely can. So I was very lucky and privileged to be able to do one of the projects which Westpac had, and that was with Ngāti Whātua Ōrākei. So I was the mobile mortgage manager who basically represented Westpac for whānau members who wanted to get into their first homes. It was a great experience. It was a big learning experience, and I think for this particular project, it was a learning experience. It was definitely a learning experience for me, but also I think there was a big learning experience for Westpac as well, and the pride that we achieved it, because it wasn't just leasehold property, which is one thing. It was shared equity with leasehold property. So for me, I found it extremely successful, and I think I can't remember the exact number of homes, but basically, you know, we met with whānau in their own environment that was familiar to them and made them feel comfortable. These were people that we met with who never thought that they could ever own a home. You know, it was a dream of theirs to own one, but they never thought it was possible. The fear that so many of them had coming to, you know, they were worried about their spending habits. They were worried about so many things. They were worried about disclosing what their financial situation is. But yeah, I felt that at Westpac, we really turned it around. We really did, as corny as it sounds, we really did make a lot of dreams come true for a lot of people who thought it wouldn't happen. And the support that Westpac gave was, you know, it's phenomenal. It was a very, very great experience. I absolutely loved it. And I know that there are several other projects or discussions underway, I believe, which Westpac are working on with different iwi. So I say watch this space. There could be many more, and hopefully, you know, there's going to be a lot more people who are going to get into their first homes. And it's, you know, whilst these families have a home and they're renting them and everything else, there's nothing like having a home that's your own that you can say, this is my family home. Because you may be able to say, this is my family home, that's a rental property, but you never know when a landlord's going to sell or something of that nature. So giving them their own home, it really cements that this is their family home. This is where everyone can come back to for the next 20, 30 years.
Well, exactly that, right? Especially when in some communities they're multi-generational through houses as well. And really it's about breaking down those barriers, right? And I think, you know, we've heard and seen a lot over the recent times that it's all well and good to say, come and talk to us or give us a call. But I think it's that flexibility to go to them, right? They're often working a couple of jobs and they don't have the time to go to a bank and spend that time. So to work around their schedule also, I think, is a huge part of making it truly accessible and showing that you're working in collaboration with them, as you say, rather than, you know, being the big bad bank who's, you know, going to tell you that you can't afford it or you're spending too much, which is so much of people's expectation, I suppose. But I love to hear it.
It's important to, you know, to meet people in a place that they're comfortable. in a comfort zone, it can be quite condescending. You know, it can feel quite condescending if you're sitting in an office inside a branch, or you're sitting in a what seems to be like a clinical environment, and you're going through an interview as if it's a job interview. You want to make them feel as relaxed as possible, and you want to, the most important thing is to get to know them first before you even start talking about their finances. Get to know, who are they, you know, how's their day been, what's their future look like, and then start getting on to the nitty-gritty stuff, or, you know, the side of business. But building that rapport and building that trust, or that comfort, the comfort side of things, I would say.
So true, eh? Gone are the days of having to put your suit on. You know, only doctors, yes, and lawyers could go and get a mortgage from the bank, and they'd have to, you know, go in the scheduled time. So, yeah, I mean, that's just, exactly, like, just reflects Kiwi society, Kiwi people these days. We're not all like that anymore. And 100%. Yeah, we've got to reflect that. No, all good. Well, let's change tack a little bit anyway. I want to talk, sure, more about the specifics of borrowing from the bank, and the role in particular of the likes of yourself, mobile mortgage manager, who we often refer to as the old triple M's. So, yep, can you tell me more about your actual role? And I suppose you've almost touched on it in many ways, the way that you are flexible and you go and see people. But any other detail that we haven't talked about in terms of your actual role and how that, you know, plays out in the bank processing and the way people get mortgages?
Sure. My role. Okay. So my role and my goal, basically, my ultimate role and goal is to get people into their first homes and to guide them on how to do it. A lot of people have the misconceptions out there that I'm going to get an application from them and I'm going to find a way to decline it. Unfortunately, that's what a lot of people seem to feel. And that's what that fear is. They feel like, I'm going to try and find something amongst their spending or amongst their income or just anything little to say, no, sorry, we can't do it. But what I like to tell my customers is my ultimate goal is to help you get into your first home, to guide you, to show you how you can do it. If it's not now, when can it be, and how can you get there? Making the process easy, making it as easy as possible. And people just have so much fear. So for myself, I like my customers to feel absolutely comfortable and relaxed. I want them to talk to me the same way like we're talking right now. Talk to me as if I'm your friend. I'm not a mobile mortgage manager at this point of time. I'm someone who's going to help you get into your first home and just completely relax. It's important to understand the needs and the wants of each customer first, to be honest with you. And that's why I said to you, get to know a bit about them first before you start talking business. What's their needs? What their wants? What do they want? What does their potential future look like? Are they going to be, you know, starting a family in 2 or 3 years? Or, you know, how many dogs do they have as such? Or how many cats do they have? And be there for them every step of the way. Communication is the biggest key. I find that is the biggest key. Tell them what the process looks like from start to finish, from the in relation to the transaction and the interaction. So there is no surprises. There is nothing that you haven't told them about. Let them know what they need to expect and how this is going to work. But educate and guide them. I think educate, guide them, but also be there to hold their hand through the whole journey and make sure you're there to answer their questions, or that you are communicating with them constantly, because it's the biggest transaction they're going to make in their whole life, really. And it's the scariest one. So biggest thing is we need to be there to support them. And I'd say that's what all our mobiles do, you know, and that's a big part of our role, be there to support them.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's, you know, you basically sound like you're approaching as if you're helping your best mate get a house, or your brother or sister, right?
And exactly. I suppose
if you go in with that attitude, then yeah, you're truly helping them. You talked there about one of the big misconceptions, of course, being that people think the bank's going to find a reason to say no.
Yes.
Are there any sort of other misconceptions about people dealing directly with their bank to get a mortgage? There's obviously other options, and they'll talk to friends and family about advice, and there's third party channels as well. So yeah, any other common misconceptions you find that people have when they want to deal directly with the bank to try and get a mortgage?
Yeah, definitely. I suppose one of the big misconceptions that are out there is people think that it's a lot better to deal with a broker, because the broker is going to get you, they believe a broker is going to get you better rates, home loan rates. The broker is going to get you the best deal because they're going to shop around all banks and they're going to come back to you with the best deal that's possible. I would say that's two of the biggest misconceptions that are out there in relation to dealing with your bank. And there's also the other misconception that, okay, if I want to go through my bank to do an application, I actually have to go into a branch and sit there and talk to someone. They're going to rip my spending to shreds. I'm going to be in this environment that I don't feel comfortable. I'm already feeling, you know, on edge about opening up everything and letting someone see my whole life on 3 months worth of bank statements as such. But they're not necessarily aware that, no, like I've mentioned several times, you know, we can come to you. We want to make it as comfortable for you. We want to see you in an environment that you're comfortable with. We will go with whatever option you want. If you want a face-to-face appointment, we'll do that. But if you don't like face-to-face, then we can do a video conference. If you don't like seeing yourself on camera, then we can do a telephone appointment. So we will work around a customer. But I would say those are the main misconceptions that are out there.
Yeah, absolutely. And so on that pricing side of things, because I think that's got to be one of the biggest expectations people have. And I think it's natural that people think if you go to someone that has a range of options, that you think you're going to get the best deal from them. But I have heard a recent story about, you know, if you're a master negotiator and you stay with your bank, you can get a pretty good deal. It's just a matter of being really strong with that and saying to your bank, you know, make sure they fight for you, whether it's cashback or whatever happens to be the deal at the time, lower rates, whatever it might be, that there can be that deal got from the bank. Do you sort of have anything to add on that pricing side and how it is that you guys can get that best deal and that people shouldn't feel like they have to go to an advisor? Not that we're going to knock one way or the other. I think all options are great and you should look at all your options for every person. But how does it work for the bank? Like, how are you making sure that you can get that best price for your customer and they don't have to shop around?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely rates are important. And in the current environment, it seems to hold a lot of importance with people fearing about living costs and everything else. They want to have a good rate. Banks definitely do look at loyalty. 100%. We look at loyalty of customers and everything as well. But it really does go back to the importance of a good mortgage structure. I mean, having your mortgage structured properly that, you know, you can save, having your mortgage structured properly so you can potentially save later down in life, having that full discussion, you know, having that full discussion to make sure that that structure actually suits what's currently now, what your future is going to be. It's all good and fine if, you know, I can give you as an example, a 3-year rate at 5%. Wouldn't that be great, Nick? A 3-year rate at 5%. Yes, it'll be all great if I could give you that. But what if your plan is in what if you have a plan in 2 years where you need to do something with your particular mortgage and you potentially could face break costs and all those bits and pieces? So, yes, pricing perspective, 100%, it is important. We do the best that we can, definitely. So for every single customer, we will get them the best rate that we can give to them. But I think the most important factor here is we will have an in-depth conversation with you about how you're structuring your loan and your rates and to make sure that this, whatever your option is fit for purpose for now and fit for purpose for later on. So you're not paying break costs, you're avoiding those. Or another misconception with pricing is, you know, people forget to look at the cashback clauses. So how long is this bank going to keep me locked in with them? You know, banks are different. Westpac is only 3 years. There's other banks out there that are 4 years. So it's a big, wide picture. It's not just about that one interest rate for the 1 year term. That's how I would see it.
I think that's really important detail too. And I think the way I sort of summarize it is there is that value and flexibility too. Mm-hmm. And I think, as you say, actually tailoring it towards, you know, what does your situation look like, not just now, but in future? You know, is there a chance you're going to drop down to one income? So you want to pay as much as you can right now. So it's about what do those payments look like, not necessarily just the interest rate you're securing at. And that's when everyone asks me my advice, you know, should I fix for 12 months or 18 months or 3 years or whatever? Yes. And of course, you know, the rate's important, but there's so many other things that are important to people too, and I think that's the really important thing with working with your provider, you know, bank, broker, whoever it is, to actually tease out what are the other things that matter to you, what's your family and life situation. Exactly. And you know, people think they're going to save hundreds of thousands of dollars by, you know, a minor change in the interest rate. The truth is that interest rate is only for a short period of time, and the savings aren't as great as you might think. So you need to take into account that flexibility and that potential change in circumstances too. And obviously the banks can help you do that. So I think it's exactly. A nice little summary. Yeah.
Yeah. And like I said, and I mentioned it earlier, you know, my role is to be here for you from the start to the end of the journey as well. And the end of the, it doesn't just end when you say to me, I found a house, I want to lock it in for 1 year. It's like, okay, that's great. Let's have a chat about why you want to lock it in. You know, our mobile mortgage managers, we could have conversations for, you know, a minimum an hour with customers about their structure. We check what they want first, just to make sure that it is suitable for them. It's not just tell me what you want, okay, I'll lock it in and away you go.
That's so good. Yeah, the aftercare is important too.
100%. All good.
And okay, well, Kyle, I think that, you know, it's been a pretty wide-ranging chat. I'll probably get to a few ways to summarize the discussion today. I suppose one thing I'm wondering about is, like, when you think about talking to prospective home buyers, can you break it down to what's the most important information? You've talked how important communication is, of course, but if you've got short time, or what's the thing you find the most important conversation you need to have with them, or that you need to educate them on?
The most important conversation, I suppose. For me, one of the most important things is that basically this is going to be the biggest transaction that they'll make in their life, but I am there to support them through it. I am there to give them guidance. I'm there to help them get through it. It's very important explaining the process to them, like I mentioned before, you know, so they're not facing any surprises. Explain to them that there are costs involved in this particular transaction as well, you know, costs like legal costs, valuation costs, due diligence costs, like building reports, explaining the bigger picture to them, not just that transaction of making an offer, having it accepted, and I'm going to give you some money at the end of it to make it all happen. Because unfortunately, you know, your first home buyers don't know all this stuff. We've all been there. We've all been first home buyers. We didn't know all of this stuff. And I know when I bought my first home, I wasn't educated on any of this stuff. So there were lots of surprises that came up for me. And it's like, oh my gosh, the kitty's a bit empty now. What am I going to do? So educating that. It's always good to encourage customers as well and let them know that buying your first home can, in some cases, not with the bank, but it can be a bumpy ride. You might see something and you might not get it. You might miss out, but don't let it dishearten you, because, again, from personal experience, there's always something better around the corner. It's always, you know, there's always something better, or you will eventually get there. So some of them get a little bit disheartened and get disheartened because, you know, they wanted this home in this price bracket, but they couldn't get it. One of the most important things, I think, as well, for prospective home buyers, is to educate them on start budgeting now as if you had a home loan. Start budgeting now as if you had a home loan and you are paying a mortgage. Look at where you can increase your savings or up your percentages that you're paying to KiwiSaver to give you the best possible deposit and that best possible step into the market, basically. But yeah, I would say budgeting. Just pretend that you're living like you have a home loan right now, because that is going to be the big difference. If you're going to continue living like how you are now, spending, you know, lots of money on clothes and everything else, then once you have to make that change, you'll do it. Definitely you can do it. Anyone can do it. But you might feel it a little bit harder, because if you're like, oh damn, I where's you start weaning yourself off all those different special things that you've always wanted or liked, or just you didn't even think about buying.
Yeah, nothing proves it better than actually doing it right now, right?
And exactly.
I think I'd probably summarize that, you know, it is about showing that care and I think, you know, really educating on that process. You know, it can be daunting. So the fact that you've got that experience, we can talk to them about that, that must be the thing that gives them that comfort, feels like they're willing to talk and be open with you, and that helps the process itself even more and more.
Yeah, and it's definitely the guidance. I've had many customers who've come to me and they haven't quite been ready yet, but it's great. You hear from them after a year and then you can see. And you know, the pride and joy you hear in them, you know, they say, oh, look, I took your advice, Joni. I budgeted and I've now been able to, I was saving more this time. I'm not going and spending crazy. And you look at their spending history at that time. And it's a real proud moment, you know, and it's about celebrating that with them as well, that like, there you go, you did do it, you know, and now you're ready. So let's, you know, let's get there. Let's get you into your first house.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. Well, I'm pretty much going to close us off there, I think. I think we've had such a good broad range chat. I think before we close and let people know how to get in touch, just wondered if you've got any thoughts or predictions or expectations on the big year ahead. What should people be watching for at Westpac? What's going on for the 2024 for you guys?
What's going on for 2024? Well, like I mentioned, apparently there's some discussions in the background for some other projects with iwi. So hopefully we're going to see a lot more lending in that space. I know that our managers are working around the clock to make it much better for our particular channel, which will then flow on to our customers, to make things easier, to have more resources out there for first home buyers. Definitely there's been a big focus on how can we increase our resources and knowledge for first home buyers? How are we going to get out there and educate more and more people, and to get the word out there that you could buy your first home now, talking about the options and everything else. I would say watch this space with Westpac. There's exciting times. We're working towards making ourselves much bigger and better than what we already are.
So, that's awesome.
Watch our space.
More investment into helping first home buyers and the broad range of people that are interested in that only sounds good to me. So I like that. And so how can people get in touch if they're interested to know more from the likes of yourself and Westpac? Social media, how do people get in touch with you guys?
Yeah, sure. Definitely social media. We have people who monitor the social media. So if you were to, you know, drop a message there stating you want to speak to a home loan specialist, definitely that's one way. The best way to get in touch with us is through our website. You know, if you go to the portion of the website which covers off home loans, you'll see that there is all of us throughout the country. We're all listed there. We've got our lovely mugshots there as well, our contact details. So reach us, you know, reach out to us by phone or email. We've got our contact centres. They're aware of, you know, they're aware of who we are, so they will basically pass messages on to us as well. You've got your branch. The branch can help you with your home loans, definitely. But if you're looking at, you know, wanting to, like I mentioned, do it after hours, out of hours, weekends, public holidays, they will definitely put you in touch with us. But yeah, the website would be our best bet. And hopefully hopefully you'll see more bits and pieces in media, television, radio, who knows what could come. So you'll get to know us more and more from there.
Yeah, great. All front and centre. But yeah, I'll leave a link to the that website anyway so that people can just click through and go
great.
And check someone out that might be in their area to make it nice and easy. Awesome. Well, amazing. Look, thank you so much for taking the time to catch up and share your experience and you know, tell us all about the world of the Triple M's. It's been really good chat. So thank you much for that. Any final words or any thoughts from you before we close on and get out of here?
Final words. Yes, definitely. Final words, I think, reach out to your bank, see where you are positioned right now, or reach out to your mobile mortgage managers, reach out to the likes of me. Find out if, you know, if you've got that spark inside you that I really want to get into my first home, take that plunge and reach out to us. See, can we make it happen now for you? Or if we can't make it happen now for you, what is that time frame that we can make it happen? Overcome that fear, basically. Because there's been so many people, just my own customer base, who've been in that situation and now they're happily sitting on their deck with a cup of coffee and don't have to worry about don't have to worry about anything. That would be my biggest.
That's awesome.
Advice.
I mean, it really is open line of communication, and the sooner the better. So
exactly, the sooner the better. And once you know how much you can borrow, I find that with a lot of customers as well, once they have that, they're like, oh, I'm not wanting to buy just yet. It's probably going to be something in 6 months to a year's time, but I really would like to see what I can afford. And you're like, yeah, that's perfectly fine. Let's go through it. Let's do it for you. So you know, within 2 or 3 months, they're coming back to you. It's like, I found a home, because you've shown them that it's possible. They had that little spark. You've then ignited it a little bit more. So it's burnt a little bit brighter. You've then given them that pre-approval, and it's like, wow, this actually can happen. So
yeah. Once you're engaged, you're away. Awesome. Exactly. Well, that just leaves me to say thanks very much again for your time. Thank you very much for listening. Please do feel free to get in touch with any questions or thoughts on any future podcasts or podcast guests as well. Do feel free to get in touch with me, and I'll also have the details there for Joni as well. Thanks very much again. My name is Nick. She's Joni from Westpac. You've been listening to Zealand Property Market Podcast. Mā te wā.